Voice. We're live. Welcome to part two of the MCU. And what movie were we on, David, by the way?
We are on...
We just finished up Age of Ultron.
So we just... No, we finished with Iron Man 3, I believe.
Iron Man 3 is what we're
on. Thor the Dark World.
Thor the Dark World.
But before we get to Thor the Dark World...
Wait, no, we made it... No, we were... Whoa, hold... No, we were on Ant-Man.
No. You're wrong.
But no, we made it to Avengers.
We didn't talk for Guardians of the Galaxy close to it. But I'd like to, because I think Guardians of the Galaxy can start with our great, the best of the MCU scores, because people don't like the music of this, even though Guardians of the Galaxy has the best soundtrack. And also score.
That's true.
Like, yeah, it has, like, it basically defines soundtracks in, like, you know, modern cinema. And the score is also very incredible as well. The Guardians theme is, like, is a lot better than the Avengers theme. At me, at DJ/M on Instagram and Twitter.
My personal opinion. Yeah. I won't ask you though.
What's your what's your favorite score as a music bit, David?
This is a hurtful term, but I'll answer anyways. Favorite musical score. Well, okay, How to Train Your Dragon has definitely got to be up there. John Powell does a very good job. Lots of Lord of the Rings music is really good. When the Rohirrim charge in the third movie, it just gives you goosebumps every time. You're just like, yeah, baby. I don't know. Thomas Newman in general is good for, like, calm music. Finding Nemo is a great soundtrack.
That's fair, yeah.
There's a lot of good ones out there. There's a lot of good ones. Yeah. The Avengers, I will give you this, the MCU in general does not have very original-sounding music.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's okay. The Avengers theme is fine. I don't hate it. But, like, a lot of them kind of sound the same, and I think they do that sort of on purpose, but it doesn't make the movie. You're not like, oh, wow, like, did you hear Avengers Ultron soundtrack? Like, yeah, no one really... is a crap.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
It's not that great. So, I mean, it's okay, but it's not, like, amazing.
Right,
so,
yeah.
The score in general in the MCU is a little disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. But the right answer before Spider-Verse happened and Rock the Sock's a very element of film, including the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was probably Monsters, Inc., though, if I'm honest.
Monsters, Inc. is good.
Every part of Monsters, Inc. is a banger and emotional.
Well, yeah. And it's hard
destruction.
To differentiate the...
Also, like, two musical numbers in the credits.
that is well played. But yeah, I think also, like, an important thing, like, Guardians of the Galaxy score, we can talk about score, we can talk about, like, you know, the soundtrack, like,
yeah.
So I'm talking about, like, orchestral.
Yeah, I'm talking about orchestral score with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy orchestral isn't that bad. No, it's pretty good.
Like,
but yeah, and then there's, like, you know, the classic songs that they have, which is a different category,
I
would say.
Which I think is just on the same level, but yeah, I think I prefer the score a little bit more. Like, when the Guardians of the Galaxy theme kicks in for, like, you know, mission breakout. No. The sort of a prison breakout.
The prison break.
That's great.
Yeah.
The way Peter just runs away at the beginning. Before CGI de-aging. That sort of defined flashbacks.
That's true. Yeah.
I think the only one after that was Winter Soldier is the only one that didn't really use a flashback.
Not really, no.
Yeah. Just started. Like a pleb.
Yep. And then after that is Avengers Age of Ultron, which we talked about, though.
And then it was another non-flashback ones.
Yeah.
But it's
not
bad,
a flashback, but just can't.
Could have used one.
Yeah.
Because Hydra died.
And then after that, we got Ant-Man.
Love Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd's good.
Yeah, I think I wish it was a little bit more heisty, but the heist that's there, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd really shines in, like, not just, like, yeah, he has some funny stuff in this, but yeah, I think he does even better with the, like, breaking into the safe scene is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a really good scene.
Because he thinks about everything.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to return it.
Yeah, because he, like, feels bad.
Because he thinks it's weird because he turned into the Ant-Man.
That's oh right.
He's weird about it.
Yeah.
And saw Michael Pena's, well, Pena.
That is a well done movie.
Mm.
In general, it's like a solid one. Not my favorite, but like I'd say pretty solid.
It's definitely up there for me.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
And then we have Captain America: Civil
War.
Is
incredible.
AKA Avengers 2.5.
Yeah, basically. It properly has like cinematic. Like language, unlike any other MCU films.
Civil
like
War
every
is
sort
one of
like
favorites.
The pacing of it is like it has like a setup and delivery to like every sort of scene.
Yeah, it does.
And like has
really
like it knows exactly when to break.
Yeah, it does a great job. It does
like,
a really good job at introducing.
One of the big
Spider-Man
like
too.
Sort of string of like scenes that really stands out is
Black
that.
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Like, after, I think the first scene is, like, pretty crazily edited, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more shaky cam, but it really slows down. And, like, there's a really good, there's, like, really good string of moments with Captain America and Scarlet Witch where he's watching, like, the Wakanda embassy, like, an explosion on news, turns it off, but then hears it in Wanda's room. So that leads into that one. And then Vision comes in, which leads into a meeting where Tony Stark comes back into the story. And then Captain America goes out for a phone call. And then just sort of, it just holds on him for, like, a good minute, just, like, on a stairwell.
Yeah.
Or it feels like a minute, at least.
Yeah.
Just, like, thinking about how Peggy Carter was killed.
Yeah.
By the mistress of time and dementia.
That's right. And dementia. Gotta begin dementia. But overall, I'd say that's one of the top ones.
Yeah absolutely. I didn't
agree with that. And then Doctor Strange follows.
Unpopular opinion, though. I love the airport fight in Civil War, but I like the smaller fights in the Russo movies way better. Like, my favorite part is the stairwell fight, because I talked about this last time.
Oh, yeah.
It just has a great escalation and, like, good hits.
It is,
like,
good.
Bucky just picks up a battering ham, just a robot arm, and then a battering ham, and another one.
And it's like a mix of Captain America
just has to catch fighting guys.
Them, but also not letting them die from getting the crap kicked out of them by Winter Soldier. So.
Yeah, and then Black Panther comes in with, like, a great sort of, like, Audi commercial.
Yeah.
And it, actually, I just remembered, it's a literal Audi commercial as well, exactly. Where, like, just, like, a family, just, like, cuts to, like, a family, just like, oh! Oh my god, what's that? Is that a metal arm, dear?
Oh.
I was like, shut up, Margaret. Yeah. I'm trying to drive.
You don't need to ask for directions.
Without all these
Google Maps.
Just roll down the window and ask that Nigerian man who's running next to the car.
All this weird.
So following somewhere, we have Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
I wasn't terribly impressed with Doctor Strange.
I was not hugely impressed. It
I
was
think,
okay.
No, I think it's really good, actually. Okay. I don't think it's original Iron Man as much.
No.
As, like, everyone says it is.
No.
I think Tilda Swinton is a really good ancient one that died pretty hardcore.
I get how they developed the world of Doctor Strange, but it's just a little too obscure for me in some ways. I'm just like, okay, like, what? This is sort of weird. Just
get on with it.
Like, how many weird infinity
but it wasn't weird enough, though.
Can we use in this movie?
The ending was good. I've come to bargain. Classic good sort of thing in a children's movie to show the main protagonist die over and over again.
That's classic.
I mean, it's good.
You just got the way to go. Especially when Bunder Cumberbatch also played Dormammu. Because, like, a really good sort of set of context, like, the creators wanted to do is, like, oh, well, Dormammu doesn't have a form. He just takes the form of, like, whoever he's looking at.
Yeah.
To be, you know, comprehensible.
That's true.
And the classic Ditko art through and through in the Dark Dimension and everything. Yeah. I think it's part of the Marvel Cool Film universe, I think.
Yeah.
We haven't been keeping up with this cadence setup in the last episode. But, Marvel Canon film, you're going to watch it. So, you know, it's there. But yeah. Marvel Cool Film Universe, would recommend.
And then we have...
David Moms
what?
Approved.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And then we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Not as good as the first one?
I agree.
I beg to differ.
Good.
I thought frankly. The first one was better, obviously.
I think the second one has, like, way better pacing. And first of all, color. It has actual colors, unlike the first one a little bit. Way better choreography. More Rocket Raccoon, which made him the best character in the MCU.
I just didn't like
the fantastic performance.
Fighting the planet, I guess.
You didn't like Ego, the heckin' planet?
I mean, he's cool, but it's like, I don't know, it's a bit much. It's a little weird. And they did all the weird stuff with the old Guardians of the Galaxy people, which I didn't really care about. I was like, whatever. Like,
they knew how to do credits. James Gunn really made a good, like, ending.
I enjoyed Yondu's arc.
Yeah, Yondu had a good arc.
Baby Groot's great.
That's true.
I'm liking better
Groot
than a girl
was kind
Groot.
Of funny, yeah. That's true.
Also, they just... Boy, James Gunn kicks the shit out of Baby Groot. Like, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Like, in that last sort of, like... You really feel the stakes when you see, like, this baby just getting crushed under the earth and crying.
Yeah.
That was about to die.
You're like, oh.
Like, that's, like, the kind of movie to, like, really get that sincerity in.
Exactly.
And they kind of wear a giant Pac-Man. Flies into a giant Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some weird shit.
Also, I think the soundtrack's a little bit better, because Elo, first of all.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, Brandy.
Yeah. After that, we've got Spider-Man Homecoming. Well done. Very good.
Arguably Spider-Man. The perfect movie, I think.
Really like, good
I think
Spider-Man
the perfect movie should be the most consistent movie, and with a team of 8 writers, I think it's a perfectly consistent movie that makes sense through and through.
Yeah.
And is very well made, very enjoyable, and also has like some pretty good layers to it, I think.
No, it does a really, really
and also,
good
it's the only MCU thing that's done a completely, like, original take that's, like, really true.
Yeah.
They do what other no other Spider-Man movies did, where they just made Spider-Man do something he never do in the comics.
Yeah.
He's never had to land a plane before. Like, no one's ever thought to do that in a in a comic book. And the whole relationship with Tony Stark is really great.
Yeah.
And also, people say the Raimi films are all about consequence. But I think Homecoming does a really good job of showing, like, what happens, like, when you're 15, like, there's not that many consequences.
Yeah, he bounces skipping out on stuff pretty quickly.
Yeah. Which makes, I think, is a lot more relatable to see, like, his main choice at the end to, like, still do the right thing, even though he's going to end up clearly better.
Yeah.
But he's, like, going to a dance and, like, hanging out and not getting trapped under rubble.
Yeah.
And we're going to do our annual awards show. I will give a yearly award to the came up with a shot of, like, half mask, half Spider-Man and pulling that off.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, the quintessential one, and I think it's perfectly paced and timed.
But then they made it so his eyes could
emote. I definitely think in both Spider-Man Homecoming and Into the Spider-Verse, the scenes where, like, the main character, like, becomes Spider-Man is both films do that really well.
Yeah. And they don't need to rehash the origin story of Spider-Man either time. Well, I guess they kind of do it, I guess.
But. Yeah, but it's like that quick, like...
But it's not even, like, a big deal.
Yeah,
it's sort of
and just... it kind of, like, since they got to do that for, like, the other iterations of Spider-Man, it kind of keeps the motif going through the movie. And then when Miles does become Spider-Man at the end, and then he gets to do his origin story kind of at the end, it really ties it all together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it just did a really good job, Homecoming also did, of just, like, I think Tom Holland is, like, the perfect performance. He's just a perfectly consistent movie.
He has a
movie.
Very good Spider-Man. Yeah, he's obvious. I mean, like, it's not, like...
Yeah, he has, like, a hint of an accent, which is good.
Yeah, and you don't see him, and you're not like, oh, that dude's, like, 30. You're like, oh, okay, this guy could believably be in high school, even though he's, like, 23 or whatever.
I mean, he was in a high school for, like, a good 6 months or something. I don't know, like, 3 months.
Oh, really?
Like, when the movie's production, they snuck Holland into, like, the science academy for that, and he just didn't know any of the science, but all the teachers just let it fly.
That's pretty cool.
Also, I really liked Michael Keaton as Vulture.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton's really incredible.
Really good
especially
job.
In the other guys. That might be his best performance.
You saw how funny that movie? All the TC...
Oh, I didn't say lock her up. What
don't go chasing waterfalls. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of it. Get out of my office.
But I really appreciate the villains that are, like, not just, like, evil, like, conniving-type villains.
Yeah,
but, like,
or just, like, insane people from, like, tech.
Yeah,
like Ant-Man was.
Yeah, they have, like, a motive. Like, you get his motive.
Yeah, like he's trying to provide for his family. And,
but you get the motive.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Like, like, those kind of villains where they've kind of got, like, more of a...
Human
like,
side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think Michael Keaton's Vulture was good. Warmonger was kind of in that same kind of vein, too.
Yeah.
Justin Hammer is probably one of the better ones as well, because he's just like, I just want to be as good as Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's better.
Well, Tony's kind of like
because he makes an Iron Man suit that doesn't tear a guy in half.
Yeah. Following Spider-Man, we've got Thor Ragnarok.
I really like
Thor Ragnarok was hysterical. The funniest Marvel movie.
And also, like, the best structured Marvel movie as well. Because, like, every scene has a purpose.
Yeah.
With that, between the riffing and whatnot.
Yeah,
you're not just, like, sitting there waiting for pointless scenes to unfold.
Yeah, like, Loki smiling at Thor's story. About, like, picking up a snake.
Yeah.
And he stabbed me.
And he's like, it's a snake.
That's such a good movie.
And it really does a good job on Loki's development, though.
Yeah, Loki's development. Hulk's development. Valkyrie's.
Yeah.
Arc. Jeff Goldblum.
Just being Jeff Goldblum, basically.
So I also really like
having a jam session.
Yeah. I really like the fight between Hulk and Thor, too.
That's really
in the
well
arena.
Done.
That's
a
great one.
That's a good fight.
That's a good fight scene.
I mean, if we were in a place where trailers just, like, weren't a big deal, like, that Thor moment would have been good.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of agree, like, that moment, like, worked okay in the trailers, but you probably just could have had, like, Hulk just, like, pop in.
Yeah.
But, like, the build-up in the arena to Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't really necessary.
That's true. Because, like,
A shock in an audience... is a lot better than a shock in a trailer, I think.
Right. I agree, yeah. They definitely. Shouldn't have revealed that in the trailer, but oh well.
Yeah.
I really did like the aesthetic, though.
It was
like
cool.
The Gladiator with
just
all the colors.
Just Flash Gordon trash.
Yeah.
And then Asgard looks better, best as it's been. Heimdall is very underrated in the movie.
I know.
Because he just, like... Because the story was like, hey... At, like, called up Idris Elba. It's like, hey, what kind of hair do you want? And then Idris Elba just, like, came in with, like, that... kind of, like, idea for a wig. They're sort of rocking that great look.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, Carl Urban. in the MCU.
Carl Urban.
Definitely a big plus. Have you guys seen the trailer for The Boys? So basically, it was Garth Ennis's one, basically edgy comic writer that kind of ruins his own stuff. But his adaptations are really good. So yeah, Seth Rogen picked up, like he did with Preacher, picked up The Boys, which is about superheroes who... it's a world of superheroes, but the government doesn't let anybody train the superheroes, so the superheroes don't usurp the government. So all the superheroes are just dumb and, like, meatheads that just, like, punch things pretty good. But then when they're out of line, like Carl Urban in the show just has his team that just goes and, like, kills them or just, like, takes, like, an arm or something. Yeah, but it's got some pretty serious edge to it, but also has goofiness to it. Like, there's, like, shots of, like, a little, like, shrinky man going into, like, a woman just diving into there.
Oh, gosh.
There's, like, one shot in that, but it's, like, not too visceral.
Like what Ant-Man's about to do in Endgame.
With the Thanos? Yeah. I saw a great one of, like, an Ant-Man action figure, and this is two purple balloons. I hope that's how it happens. I wouldn't even be mad.
Here's my little...
It's, like, a 15-minute movie.
Risque, the cheek spreader. Risque Endgame theory. First of all, quick Endgame tip. All the main color of the whole ad campaign of Endgame is the purple, which is the Soul Stone. So that's all gonna happen.
Yeah.
I would have like a House of M style thing, but you know that's just me and my fanfic, which I'll get into after Endgame. But yeah, I think because as you know, according to the canon of the Incredible Hulk, you recently discovered, Bruce Banner cannot bang because he gets a little too excited. He hulks out.
That's true.
And then when everyone's dead and when you know, Doom is coming. You know, Bruce Banner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was like, hey, Black Widow's here. We can patch some things up. You know, the Hulk's not coming out, so.
Yeah.
And then that's when the Hulk happens. I feel like that should be, I feel like that should be touched upon.
So. Now it changes. Instead of whenever he gets really angry, Hulk comes out. It's just whenever he gets really aroused, Hulk comes out. Yeah. And so then, like, Thanos comes down to fight and Mark Ruffalo whips out his phone and is like,
you just hold on a second, Thanos.
Give me 5 minutes.
Something's rising high. And then goes full.
Something's rising.
Who would calm him down, though? There's no boner killers in the Avengers, though. That's the risk.
I don't know. Mantis isn't that attractive. She's kind of...
Mantis is good.
That's She's not bad, though. Drax isn't... I guess Drax is...
Would it be Rocket, though?
Maybe it'd be Rocket.
Would Rocket just tell Hulk to... himself, and then he'd be like,
he got told off by a raccoon. That'd probably work. Following Ragnarok, we have Black Panther.
Best Picture nominee.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, CGI is real bad sometimes.
It's a little weird at the end.
My media teacher pointed out that in the scene where they have to like cover him up in the snow was fake. And watching that, you could just see their hands just sort of go in, like Phantom Menace style, and just like... the whole last action scene's bad. They cut out the pretty important scene. Relationship between Neowe and Get Out fella.
That's true.
Get
Out fella. Yeah.
That's true.
But overall, it had some good fight scenes. Yeah.
What is it better to be known? The worst Black Mirror episode, which is what he stars in?
That's true. I also appreciated how, like you kind of saw where, like, the plot was going. Uh-huh. Like, it's like, oh.
You figured he was going to, yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna lose the throne, then he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really like how they ended it with him, like, bringing Killmonger up
like
to
watching the sunset.
Yeah. Like, he's... Kinda. No, that's the hero. Is that he's not going to just kill him. He's offering him redemption.
Yeah, and he doesn't...
And he doesn't...
Well, exactly.
Because, like, I think at that time, they both kind of, like, connect and realize, like, they both just kind of want... what's best.
Yeah.
But they've just got, like, different ideas of
what is
what
best.
Is.
Yeah.
And one is definitely crazier than the other one.
Yeah, one's a little less practical.
Yeah.
One's a little bit more out there.
Just thinks honor is just, like, killing people, because, you know,
right.
That's what the king did to his dad.
Yeah.
Pretty good motivation.
Maybe not. And then after that?
Like, Spirit Web. Though I do want to talk about Black Panther for
one
second. On the final scene.
Talk about more Black Panther.
There's a Reddit comment that just... was a simple fix that really would have fixed things up is that it would be 100 times better if it was on the train.
Oh, that
like,
was
so that way,
cool.
Like, the whole fight would have been without them with the suits, so that way they wouldn't look super fake.
That's kind of what I was looking for, is like, oh, maybe, like, Because the suits are ridiculous, honestly. Yeah. Like,
I don't know why Shiri's like cannons weren't just like shadow physics guns. With shadow physics, it's just like, hey, I developed this thing that turns off vibranium.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah, we're kind of have some sick names for tech.
Yeah.
Like hover bikes and whatnot.
Yeah. But,
Claw, I feel bad Claw died, but hey, you know, stakes.
That's true. That was too bad that he got shot. He did a good job.
Also, Killmonger killed his girlfriend for no reason.
Yeah, that was kind of
sad. Well, I mean, I get that.
I get what happened. Like, he cared about her, but he cared more about his mission.
I mean, she didn't want to run into plus, like, I a mean, meeting or with a...
Sometimes girlfriends get on your nerves.
That's true, yeah. Especially criminal ones.
Yeah, I mean, running into your ex for, like, during usurping the throne, what's that going to be?
I know, that's...
So now we got Infinity War.
Worst one.
Terrible movie.
Terrible.
Awful. Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Though, yeah, it's... Yeah, I think Infinity War is great due to the fact that, like, half the characters' names are not said out loud, but you know all the characters.
That's a good... That's,
I think that's a pretty important distinction in a movie. Because the Black Order, like, nobody... Their names aren't even said except for Ma.
Yeah.
Because he's the star of the show.
Yeah.
Squidward.
Yeah.
Squidward. Yeah, Ma, Squidward. Yeah, no, like, it was... Yeah, and Thanos is obviously just, like, probably
Josh Brolin. Great performance.
Yeah, really good job.
Heroic.
That's kind of like another one of those villains where it's like, you can like kind of see like he's trying to do what's best, but like it's also kind of like, think it through like four more seconds there, Thanos.
Yeah, like you get what's happening. Well, like, you know, the big thing is like, why don't you just double the resources if you got the Infinity Stones?
But I mean, even killing half the people or making more resources doesn't get to the heart of the problem that populations are growing past.
Yeah.
And Ant very says or not.
Which, I mean, happens in the natural world.
Speaking it's of perfectly kind of balanced growing resources.
But it's dangerous. Yeah, you're right. It does happen in the natural. Yeah, you hit a population cap. But that's the thing. It's like, well, it's not your job to kill everybody. Yeah. Like, let Mother Nature take care of that.
Speaking of perfectly balanced resources, though, we got another ad break coming in.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
So here's my problem with the Infinity Gauntlet that people having a problem with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay.
I don't think it's as powerful as people say. Because you never see it actually create anything. First of all, the Reality Stone only works for like the 2 minutes Thanos is in the room.
Right? Yeah.
Or in the planet, I guess.
Yeah.
The Space Stone can just teleport. It's all about destruction, basically.
Yeah.
So he with all the powers of the Infinity Stones, he can destroy things better.
Yeah. But he's not really creating like things out of, like, either. Dust, though. He's not, like...
And time is, like, a little bit like restoration. You know, especially in the case of Vision. Whew.
Ooh,
that was a good scene.
Rips it out of him.
That was a good boy. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Yeah,
but
the beats in Infinity War were also great with sort of, like, emotional bit. Like, the whole part where, you know, in real time, like, Gamora's falling and then a wine glass just shatters right at that moment or something like that. Yeah. Out of shock, presumably.
That was really good surround sound.
I didn't know she was so crunchy.
Wow. Good job with the wine glass, Marvel! Everybody watch the screen.
I don't know what asshole brought a wine glass
to it. Who brought two wine glasses?
For those boys at home, your co-boys, Matthew Easdale, David Lake here, brought in two wine glasses and sipped a nice, you know, Chardonnay of cider or something, or grape juice.
It was sparkling cider. It was not alcohol.
Sparkling cider. Yeah.
It wasn't the alcohol that knocked over the glass.
No, it was just
The shock of seeing Red Skull. It was in that scene. It was a pivotal, emotional crux of the movie.
It was during the Soul Stone scene, and I definitely knocked over a wine glass.
Yeah.
And it definitely shattered. And definitely everybody in the theater heard it.
Yeah. A lot of people looked over.
It definitely got a lot quieter.
Our area, I don't think it was because of the drama of the scene.
Oh, that's funny.
Rip that. That's okay. Yeah.
I really liked in Infinity War Spider-Man's interactions with everyone. Because you can tell he's kind of just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
That's cool, yeah.
We're using her like superhero name.
We're using her made-up names.
Because that's what Tom Holland was on set.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Good layers there.
Have you ever seen this really old movie called Alien?
How old is this kid?
Yeah, but the kids seem
old. Yeah. Yeah, it's great how they set him up as like a kid who likes retro tech and like dumpster diving and stuff.
Yeah.
And then comes up with just that as a retro movie.
Yeah. But it's funny too because it's relatable to all of us. Like I feel like the big MCU. I mean, there's a lot of adults, but like you know, everyone our age is like, oh yeah,
it's
from the 80s.
Like I've grown up with like Harry Potter, MCU, Gravity Falls. Like I was the exact age of Dipper and Mabel throughout their whole.
Yeah, Harry Potter is probably like the earliest childhood movies I can remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're really huge.
Because the first two were for dumb babies and not very good.
Yeah.
But then the third one.
I like the
Best of Cinema.
Lord, though. He was good. He did a better job.
My biggest question, because Harry Potter is probably like the big like franchise that I'm not the most familiar with.
Yeah, I get
My
that.
Question is, between like the Fantastic Beast movies
yeah.
and the Harry Potter movies, when does Dumbledore decide to stop wearing suits and start wearing robes and shit?
I don't know. I think he's probably going to be, like, mourning at the end of, like, the fifth Fantastic Beast movie, whatever the hell they're going to.
And turn to robes.
Turns to robes
like,
for comfort. But, like, the really colorful robes in the second one.
Yeah. He's going to pick the red and green or whatever color.
The, what if Jude Law only has two movies? He has to, like, get recasted. Like, in the like the original
Dumbledore.
That'd be great. Jude Law is great because you just listen to him, as discussed in the Captain Marvel movie. He's perfect. You just listen to Jude Law because
yeah.
you know, it's the rule.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the law.
So after Infinity War, which we can all agree was very well done,
yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Solid one.
I really like that one too.
That was
yeah, great.
That was
great solid. Fight scenes that were in the trailers, but still pretty good.
Yeah. It was a good time. The True Serum.
Also, feedback
really
up to Spider-Man
it's
Homecoming.
A True Serum.
That's True Serum.
That's True Serum.
Baba Yaga, also a good bit.
Back up to what?
Baba Yaga.
Mm.
Speaking of, yeah, Hellboy is out, was out this weekend, by the way.
You see it?
Nobody knew. No. I'll get to it.
Someday.
Third act's probably best.
It's the dude from Stranger Things, right?
Yeah. David Harbour.
Yeah.
He's fantastic acting.
I do like him show.
Yeah, but yeah, circling back to Homecoming, unlike Ant-Man and the Wasp, there was one really great fight scene that wasn't in the trailer somehow for the Spider-Man Homecoming ad campaign. Which is, like, a really small scene, like, where he's, like, trying to sneak up to, like, a villain's hideout with, like, a supply truck. But then the Vulture comes in, sort of strides his stealth in. And then Peter Parker concusses himself super hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, a little action scenes, like, really build up, you know, that sort of great character interaction. And really good for Marvel. Which, this had really plenty of, I think, as a really good, like, the first introduction of the movie is, well, first of all, flashback scene, because de-aging's happening.
Yeah.
For two major 80s players.
Sure.
But then also coming back for also like the fake heist in
yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. The,
yeah.
All the relationships in Ant-Man and the Wasp make that movie.
Yeah.
Which
true.
Is good.
Also his probation FBI agent or whatever.
Yeah. Just all the Proudwood's chemistry with everybody. Michael.
Asian Jim.
Michael Douglas's like just exposition. And also super confused that he didn't see Civil War.
Yeah.
Everything. Evangeline Lilly's fantastic as the Wasp.
That's true.
Even though it does
yes.
the weird thing that writing females does, where they make like the male sidekick dumb socially.
They didn't make
out with some stuff.
Scott a little like extra stupid.
Yeah, they didn't give him like anything to heist exactly.
Yeah, which is too bad. But I mean, he did a good.
I mean,
job
he thought
first.
Of. I mean, like he thought of to get back into the giant ant and stuff, and then
that's
the true. After credit scene, I loathe. I hate it so much.
Of the.
I think. Maybe Scott, it would be a good place if Scott got dusted and, like, you know, Evangeline Lilly would have to, like, take care of, like, his daughter and,
that
like, stuff
cool.
would be busy
that
with that and,
new.
Like, train her to be Cassie Lang to be the real, the next aunt.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Aunt Gal.
But.
Yeah, Cassie Lang's good in the comics and is going to be played by the 13 Reasons Why actress. That's garbage.
Okay.
And
that's,
well.
And then after Ant-Man, we got Captain Marvel, which
mm-hmm.
we did a whole pod about. But, I mean,
yeah,
we could agree that
good.
We liked it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, more on Ant-Man and the Wasp. The after credits scene, just, like, setting up is like, okay, yeah, you know, fun banter. Just be careful not to fall into a quantum time hole.
Yeah.
Gotta watch out for that
How
one.
Many times can we mess in the quantum realm before it becomes very relevant in Endgame, probably?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure... That's
yeah.
gonna be a big deal, but
no, yeah, it's all time travel.
I think what's gonna
Thanos
happen,
kicks their ass in the first
right.
act.
I think what's gonna happen is that Scott's gonna find some way to get out of the quantum realm, and when he does, he's just going to be in Thanos' ass.
The whole time.
And he's just going to expand.
All right.
Because it's going to be, like, the whole movie with, like, no Ant-Man.
No, but here's
and the then thing. To, like, this, like, big, like... Like, this giant buildup where, like, Thanos, like, defeats everyone again. He's about to, like, kill off everybody, and then he just...
explodes.
And then Ant-Man's like...
Ant-Man's like, well, I've been holding my breath for an hour.
No, but Thanos is way too dense, though. Like, he's gonna get stuck. Like, Ant-Man's gonna go up his ass, get stuck in a test, and then pull up, and then you're just gonna hear, like, an internal, like, crunch Mortal Kombat style. And then Thanos is just going to be like...
But then,
and then just Power Stone.
Power Stone it. Through it.
Then Thanos is just...
Stone's worse than that.
See, what's going to happen is Thanos is going to win, but he's just going to have Ant-Man stuck in his intestines for the rest of his life, so he's just going to be, like, horribly constipated.
Horribly constipated and have, like, a lot of eating disorders.
So, Thanos uses the Reality Stone to grow, like, as big as Ant-Man or, like, regular, so that way Ant-Man just, like, tumbles out.
I want Ant-Man to be, like, an intestinal worm, basically.
He's just a tape, Thanos, a tape movie, ant.
Like, sure, the Avengers beat him, but the entire movie... Thanos is struggling with, like, a little bit of indigestion.
Actually, in Adventure Time, there's this great sort of dynamic that they set up between Peter and Jake called, like, the Jake suit and the Finn suit.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, because, you know, Jake the dog is, like, stressless.
Right.
So usually, Finn, like, jumps into Jake's, like, whole deal, and then Jake is just, like, a giant muscle man.
Right.
But then one episode, like, when Finn has a date, like, Jake jumps in and, like, controls, like puts his, like, appendages, like, into, like, his, like, whole body. Like, controls, like, his finger and everything and, like, brain impulses. So if, like, Amy, like, kind of did the same thing, like, you just see, like, Paul Rudd's face just, like, ah! It's, like, trying to, like, maneuver Thanos so people can get him.
The whole thing is just, like, a long prank. Like, 5 minutes into the movie, Ant-Man does that. And then just, like, pretends to be Thanos.
Yeah.
And he's, like, about to beat everyone, and is just, like, just kidding.
I'm just kidding, guys. I'm the strongest Avenger.
Ant-Man's the greatest.
And most likable.
And most likable.
It's Paul Rudd.
It's Paul Rudd.
And most... most lovable.
Lovable.
Big old 50-year-old dad.
That's right. Paul Ruddy. And that concludes the list of movies until we get to...
I just have one comment about Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
The final fight scene, when they're inside Mar-Vell's lab, and like the fight scene starts, and they start playing that No Doubt song.
I'm just a girl.
That song goes really well with that fight scene.
I think it's a good enough fight scene. I wish they contextualized the song.
It was paired really well.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy haven't been yet. The Nirvana song was weird. I like the freaking heavy metal, whatever. Grunge. There's alright songs. I feel like the best part was not on top of the train because it's shot bad and there's like a really random zoom and just like cuts.
Yeah.
But I think like the chase scene with Nick Fury and like
that was good.
Coulson is like, oh, was Coulson's bad? And then bam.
Yeah.
Cool. Spoilers for Captain Marvel because
I really like
and also
that,
the MCU as well in this part two of part one. Part one and two series.
Part one and two.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Great. We'll wait for that.
Also, I really like how Samuel Jackson's first pet's name was Mr. Snoofers.
That's cute.
Because that is just a great name for, like, any kind of pet.
Honestly. One person.
Yeah. Like, you can name your first child that.
Mr. Snoofers.
Mr. Snoofers. Even if it's a girl.
One word.
Mr. Snoofers.
Yeah, that is, that goes both ways. It's like Alex.
Yeah.
By the way.
But, yeah, I just love, I just wish Captain Marvel, like, because it was de-aging the whole movie, I'm sure Marvel... felt like it didn't need to do a flashback, even though it probably should have done that.
Yeah.
Like, I would have preferred, like, if it was, like, the go-kart thing, because that's, like, a pretty pivotal one, where she crashes, but then, like, a dust cloud happens, and it's like, what? It's a warped alien future with a scroll shooting him.
Right, yeah.
Because that's what the movie tried to do as well, with, like, weird smoke.
Yeah.
And slow motion that worked all right.
Yeah. It was good, though. It was well done. And, like...
Yeah, I really liked it a lot.
Slowly learn her origin story is really
like, there's a lot to dig into, which I like as a film connoisseur, as you know.
I like how they also don't mention that Jude Law's character is Yon Rogg until the very end.
Yeah.
True.
The very end, they mention that.
They're like, oh yeah, Yon Rogg is coming.
Yeah.
And there was like a second where I was like, what's that? And
yeah.
I was like, oh. I was like,
oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. As said in the previous episode, he could have just been called Jude Law.
Jude Law.
Jude Law. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, it's exciting. Endgame is. It's going to be.
I'm pumped for it.
Yeah, very good feminist movie. Very good feminist series, I think. Yeah. Kinda, I don't know. Black Widow's always weird. Trying to get with
Black Widow.
Because, you know, when he's standing next to Chris Evans, you got to take that chance.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to.
Oh, Chris Evans is Chris Evans.
I mean, he's not Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. I mean, he's not. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's okay, though.
Yeah. Or Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Captain really Marvel's a good feminist movie because, like, she makes choices, like, as seen in the Captain America films, you know, always makes choices to, like, define their characters and, like, define their whole arc.
Yeah.
And a lot of choices of doing whatever it takes to win the end game.
That's right.
Let's end with some end game predictions looking back on the MCU. What do you want to see from it?
Biggest prediction, I think, maybe Captain America will die. Maybe not. I hope Ant-Man goes into Thanos' butt.
And dies.
I don't care if he dies.
I'm calling it Ant-Man's gonna get dead real quick.
And yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think Tony Stark's gonna die.
Either Captain America or Iron Man or both is gonna die. Yeah. That's my prediction.
Yeah, one of
the big dudes.
Yeah, Iron Man. Thor's gonna be like lonely in Scotland with his new Asgard, most likely.
Yeah, he's probably gonna have to, like, or he might die. That's possible.
Dude. I don't think Thor would die though.
Probably not.
He's too jacked to die.
Do you think Loki's alive? That's a good question.
No,
I
don't think he is.
He might actually be dead.
I think he got real dead.
Yeah, I see Loki's eyes every time I close mine. Yeah, yep. That one really got to me.
That's good.
That was a real...
That was a pretty nasty choke-out scene.
That was.
Yeah, it was a lot better than Unbreakable, when it was just, like, dramatic music. Like, oh, what a heroic moment. Just, like, choking out, like, a guy in a tracksuit.
Yeah.
Just like, ah, yeah! For, like, 2 minutes straight for one shot. Yeah, I think Ant-Man will do some good time travel stuff and then see his daughter and be like, oh,
yeah,
I'm raising a bad actress, huh? Yikes.
Oh, crap.
And then there's going to be a fan theory that will lead to 13 Reasons Why suicide, because that show's dumb for some people who think they should take drama seriously for mental health.
That show.
And, yeah, I think it would be really... I still stand by, you know, Hulk's going to come out in a certain way in Infinity War. It's gonna
I
be,
think Hulk
and
is
after
gonna
that,
be,
it's gonna be a sophisticated.
Hulk is gonna be like
Professor Hulk,
smart
yeah.
Bruce Banner, but also strong Hulk. Like, I'm sure they're gonna mix.
Yeah,
and it's
to Professor Hulk style, because he's gonna be a lot more sophisticated after.
Yeah, it's gonna be smart Hulk. And he's gonna wreck everybody,
and he's gonna be hung.
That's right.
Yeah, he was. Matt was mentioning that for the entirety of the podcast, actually.
Every time Hulk came up.
Yeah, as soon as we talk about, since the week, since like the 4 days between part one and part two, after we talked about Incredible Hulk, he just couldn't keep it in.
Yeah.
Like the Incredible Hulk.
Exactly. Try and tame that beast.
Good luck.
I'm trying to think, like, who else?
I don't think I have any other predictions.
Obviously, Spider-Man's going to die.
Don't really care what happens to Scarlett Johansson. That's not true. She's going to be alive. Scarlett Johansson. Sorry, not Scarlett Johansson. Scarlet Witch. I don't really know what's going to happen to her.
Yeah, I guess so. I want Vision to be, like, Golden Vision. That'd be cool.
Yeah, he'll probably get
bring that back.
Come back somehow.
Like Wakanda-style Vision.
Hawkeye is going to be, like, Ronan or whatever, right? Hawkeye.
For part of it. I don't know.
That's a weird... I'm sure his family got dusted. That's probably why he's all pissed.
He's going to have a TV show about him and his daughter, so that's going to work out.
There's going to be, we'll see.
I want Winter Soldier to be a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
To be Captain America, I think.
I feel like they make Falcon Captain America before they make Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
They're really set on him being
I mean,
Wolf.
The TV show's probably going to, like, have, like, both sides of that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Disney Plus, by the way, is looking very good for the Marvel Universe. Going to start doing animated What If starring MCU casts. Haley Atwell's going to come back for What If Peggy Carter was Captain America.
Oh.
And then, like, in the comic books, Steve Rogers is, like, in, like, a little mech suit by Stark and is still skinny. Which is fun.
Be good.
What Ifs are always a wild time.
Yeah.
I'd say. But, yeah, I think that's all for this episode. Watch Endgame. We'll give you a week before we review that.
Yep, that's fair. Yeah, you'll be watching it when it comes out, so
that's very true.
It's
25th, right?
You know, we have listener support activated 26. On anchor.com. So if you want to chuck a few bucks that way, share the podcast, because it's literally only me sharing the podcast.
Yeah, David.
With the gram. Get on the be sure to, if you have Matt's number, text him to get on that gram.
That's true. Do that.
We'll do a campaign for that.
I'll be happy that someone texted me.
Yeah, I bet we'll look forward to that conversation.
I know exactly.
I'll be like, mean. This isn't my mom.
Hey.
Qua?
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 Yeah. Be on the watch out for David's showing of Into the Woods when?
May 3rd.
May
3rd? Through the 19th.
Through the 19th at Corvallis?
Majestic.
Corvallis. Majestic Theater. It's in Oregon. Most of the listenership's in Oregon. But if you're in Sweden, thanks for listening again. That's if you're right. On the Reddits, pass it around. Sweden. Moderators, don't ban me.
Even though you're gay.
For the
whole... Got those mods.
Stupid moderators. Sorry,
yeah. And yeah, say with me one more time.
We
are a gift from God. You at home better start doing that as well, by the way.
We're listening.
God bless you. And see you boys at the next one.